publishing since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1246. This is your host, Danny Pena. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this special podcast episode. Actually, Gamertag Radio just turned 18 years old a couple days ago. I was in DICE, at the DICE Summit that took place in Las Vegas. And I drove, actually, here from L.A., and it was a great time. We were there for like a whole week. Got to see a lot of people from the industry, and I had workshops, panels. Also, we went to the DICE Awards, which also happened, and that was a great time. So, for this episode, this is again a very, very special episode. So, a couple weeks back, I got invited to a private screening of the Tetris movie, that which is coming out Apple TV very, very soon. And it's based on a true life story about the creator, Alexei Pajdanov, and also Hank Rogers. He was the one that discovered the game. He used to be part of the like distribution, and he will go to like Japan over there. And he discovered this game, Tetris, during CES back in 1988 or something like that. So I talked to the creator of Tetris and also Hank on this episode of GTR to celebrate the 18th anniversary of GTR and also to celebrate the release of the movie, which is coming out in very, very soon. But first of all, I want to say thanks to Apple and everybody that invited me to check out the film. I had a great time watching it. I think people are going to enjoy it once it comes out. So you can watch the trailer, the official trailer of Tetris right now. Just go to YouTube or any of the social media, just look up Tetris movie and you see the trailer. It's really, really cool. I think people are going to enjoy this, man. So during the interview for this podcast, which is exclusive, by the way, during this interview, we talked about like, you know, the process of, you know, working on this film and their thoughts about like Tetris now turning 40 years old next year. And then we just talked about like a lot of other things too. Just how much Tetris not only changed my life, but a lot of people's lives. So we talked about that and a couple other things. I think people are going to enjoy this interview once again, only on Gamertag Radio. So please send me your thoughts, feedback. Let me know your thoughts about the interview. Let me also know your thoughts about the trailer, which you could watch it right now. Just search for a Tetris movie, and especially on the Apple channel. They have it there and everything like that. So it's going to be good. I think people are going to enjoy this once it comes out. So we're going to play the interview here in a few minutes. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. When you find us, follow us, subscribe, and also, more importantly, please post a review. The more we get, the more reviews we get from people, the more people are going to discover us. Doesn't matter where you listen to the podcast. Doesn't matter if it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Cast, or any other app. Just post a review, all right? And if you can, share the content. That will be a great way to spread the word about GTR, right? If you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to go and play the interview right now with the creator of Tetris, Alexei Pajdanov, and also Hank Rogers. And I would love to hear your feedback about this. Stay tuned. And here you go. Enjoy.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
My name is Hank Rogers. I'm a computer game designer turned entrepreneur. I wrote the first role-playing game in Japan, had a publishing company, found Tetris to publish, and chased the Tetris rights upstream all the way to the Soviet Union, Moscow, where I met my friend Alexei Pajitnov, the creator of the game. We became partners, and we've been partners in crime ever since.
Awesome. And you, Alexei?
Yeah, I'm Alexei Pajitnov. I create a game called Tetris, and here we go.
All right. Yeah, you know what? Recently, actually, a couple of weeks back, I got invited to watch the film, the Tetris film. I really enjoyed it, honestly. Again, it's not 100% accurate, but I had a great time, and I think this is a great way, especially for those that doesn't know the history about Tetris and doesn't know much about games. I think even the gamers are actually going to love it, I think, personally, for me. I had a great time watching it. And look, playing Tetris, I'm a huge fan. I've been playing it, not the NES version. I started playing it when the Game Boy version came out. Yeah, in Dominican Republic when I used to live there.
Oh.
Yeah, and I was like, I was hooked. Completely hooked with the game, man. So for you, Alexei, when you were creating this, you know, were you you thought this was ever going to happen, like the game was going to be this big, this popular years later?
Well, when I have my early prototype of the game without scoring or decoration, without graphic sound and anything like that, I still can't finish program it and keep playing. So when I catch myself that I'm so addicted myself, I realize that it's a very good game, but I definitely never expect anything like what's happened.
Yeah, and Hank, were you, I know you went to CES, what year was that? Was that 84?
88,
okay. So when you went there, you were just industry networking type thing, or you knew you wanted to find something at this event?
So I had a publishing company in Japan at the time, and I was looking for games to bring to Japan. That's what I always did at CES. And so I found Tetris at the Spectrum Holobyte booth. And normally what you do is you stand in line and you play a game, and then you stand in another line, you play a game for a little while, and you keep on doing that. Well, what happened to me is I realized I was standing in line for the fourth time at the same machine. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm supposed to be moving on to other games. And that's one thing. And the second thing is I realized I wanted to beat that high score that was on there. That was Gilman Louis, the president of that company. And I knew him. But anyway, I was into it. And I don't let myself get into games that deeply that often. And here I was.
So you were thinking about the game even after CES. You're like, oh man, I can see this being a big, right?
I was, you know, like for me, the simplicity of the game was its power. You know, there's so many other games with bells and whistles, and the bells and whistles are there to attract people to play the game, even though the game mechanics may not be the best in the world. But here we have no bells, no whistles, great game.
Yeah, and Lexi, when you started showing this to other people too, do you think they also got hooked playing this right away, or it took them a while to figure it out about the game?
Yes, right away. Well, at that time we didn't have any software market in Soviet Union, so the only way the software distributed was just copying between the machine with the floppy disks. So my first original version on PDP clone, Russian PDP clone called Electronica 60, when I gave up, I mean, in 2 weeks it was everywhere. Everybody who works on those machines had this copy, called it glass, the glass.
And Alexei, so when you got to meet Hank for the first time, that he was just trying to find you, how was that first time interaction? Was it like, okay, this guy's kind of weird, or this was like, hey, let's talk? Like, it was a quick process or what?
Yeah, I met him at the meeting when he showed up at Elorg at the agency to purchase the rights. And yeah, my first impression was kind of weird. Yes, that's true. But as soon as I realized that he's my colleague, the first colleague I ever met in my life, you know,
that, calling, he means game designer, fellow game designer. Game designer.
Mm.
Yeah, I realized that we're gonna rather be friends. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's crazy that it's going to be 40 years next year, which is mind-boggling. And still to this day, there's still people playing the game. Like I, you know, recently, actually yesterday, I was playing Tetris Effect Connected VR, and I was like in the zone, beautiful game, huge fan of the game too. So yeah, there's people still to this day playing. Actually, I have a story. My cousin, she was pregnant. This was like in the early 2000s. And she really had a really tough pregnancy, right? And guess what was the game that helped her during her pregnancy? It was the original Game Boy game. She had the Game Boy Color. That was the only game that she ever played in her life. She's not a gamer at all. And she felt good playing it, man. Loved the game to this day. So I showed her the trailer of a movie, and she's super excited to watch it, man. Super, super excited.
Yeah, have you tried Tetris 99?
Oh yeah, I love 99, of course.
Oh,
that's fun.
Something.
Yeah, actually, for you both, are you guys are pretty good playing the Tetris to this day, or are you like a casual here and there? Because people have been playing it, and they're pros in this, especially online.
Well, I am little bit above average casual player. I used to be a good player. Well, as a matter of fact, I was champion of the world when nobody sees this game yet.
Yeah. Well, what about you, Hank? Are you pretty good or casual gamer?
I've played basically all the versions of Tetris that I was involved in to the end. You know, I've got the space shuttle to come out on the Game Boy, for example. So yeah, I would consider myself an above average player, but I've seen, you know, much better players than myself. So
yeah. Yeah. You know what?
I may be in the top 10%, but I'm not near the top 1%.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was going to ask both of you, like, how was the process of come up, you know, with a film, and how this came about? Was this something that a production company approached you guys, or you guys talked to a couple of companies to see that could system?
What happened was and I don't know this for a fact, but there was a documentary called From Russia with Love made by BBC way back when.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody saw that and said, hey, this would make a good movie because these are interesting characters. All the main characters in the movie, like Belikov, Stein, myself, Alexei. We were all in that documentary. It was very well done. So somebody then approached me or Tetris and optioned my life story or my Tetris story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started. And then they got Alexei involved. And then, you know, anyway, it blossomed. And that was quite a long time ago. It was like, I don't know, how long ago was that meeting that we had?
About 8, 9 years ago.
Yeah, it was Brad Ratner's outfit, and Brad Ratner is the guy who went down with the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I remember we had the writer, Noah Pink, who's still the writer.
Yeah.
The director that they were trying to convince to do the movie and who was in the room was Ron Howard.
Mm.
Ron Howard was being asked about this, and they were asking me, you know, who do you want to play you? And I remember saying, Johnny Depp. And he said, oh, no, too old. And I said, well, how about Keanu Reeves? No, too old.
You need somebody young.
Yeah. And then, you know, Brad Ratner went down and the option floated around and was picked up by Apple and the people who made the movie. So then it was revived. They sent us the script, and Alexei and I spent many evenings working on the script.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, the bits that we could change were the bits that made it really feel like the Soviet Union. you know, because it's hard for people who've never been to the Soviet Union to imagine what that's like. So while a lot of this stuff was made up, the feeling of what it was like in the Soviet Union, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Alexa, what about you? Like, you know, working on this go ahead.
Well, I was originally pretty skeptical because our life is kind of serious stuff, you know, and to show it as for entertainment, I understand that it will be lots of suffering. Mm-hmm. But somehow we decide to really fight for the truth, at least fiction truth, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. What I mean. So we try to take away all the stuff which had no chance to happen at this time and this circumstance. And we did a pretty good job. So we really put a lot of our efforts into the script. Mm. And surprisingly, the movie is good. I like it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm telling you, I was like, really into this in the movie theater, watching this, you know, eating my popcorn. I'm like, oh, this is good. So I was gonna ask you, Leslie, like which part of the movies you felt like it was very important, besides the Soviet Union, was there any other stuff that you felt like it was very important for people to know that be part of the movie?
Well basically all this story and it's very fresh. We didn't see any movie about computer games yet, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's a very, very fresh kind of wind into this narratives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think very important for us to introduce.
You know which part, for me, no spoilers, but this everybody knows about this anyway, it's part of the story, but the part that I felt like it was very important to learn also, how you guys approached Nintendo and presented the game for the first time. I think that was one of my highlights, because, of course, that was like my first Tetris game. So seeing that, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. This is up there, yeah, man, that moment, you know?
You know, Game Boy came out in Japan mm-hmm. in 88. And so January 89, I flew to Seattle. I'd already done a bunch of business with Nintendo. And so mm-hmm. I went there to meet with Arakawa. And I knew that he was trying to decide what game to pack in with Game Boy. And so mm-hmm. I said, look, you should pack in Tetris. And he said, why should I pack in Tetris? I have Mario. And I said, if you want little boys to buy your Game Boy, pack in Mario. If you want everyone to buy your Game Boy, pack in Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
He called in his advisors, because he himself is not a gamer, neither is Yamauchi. He called in his advisors and asked them, and they, yeah, that's true. And so we shook hands on a deal. And based on that handshake deal that I had with Arakawa, I got on a plane a month later and went to the Soviet Union. On the tour visa.
Yeah. And a question about seeing the reaction ever since the trailer came out. How's it been for you guys? Like, you've been searching online to see the reaction from the fans, and overall, what?
Well, me personally, I've been inundated with, like, on Facebook. Are you kidding me? Everybody, everywhere I meet everybody, they're like all excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Alexi? Have you been reading the reaction from the crowd?
I keep myself humble and I just sitting. I used to receive lots of letters for autographs. It's still coming. It started little bit more now, but basically I'm still afraid of all this popularity.
No, but you know what it is, Alexi and Hank too. Like, I feel like what you guys did back then, it completely changed the industry overall. Because there was a time where people just wanted to play like shooters and, you know, different type of games. But having a puzzle game like Tetris, that was like a game changer for the industry overall, man. So for me, as a fan of video games, like that game completely changed my life, you know. So I can understand why people are super excited to actually watch this, you know, the movie at home and everything. So yeah, people are just being thankful about it, man, you know. So, but I was going to ask you too, Alexi, like, you know, next year is the 40th year. How are you going to celebrate your 40th year of a game that you created back in 1984?
Well, basically, we're still working on the new version, and we continue to do it. And Hank, me, and our colleague are doing a really good job to maintain brand, which is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically we still have some concern because new generation of players are too lazy to figure out and get this stuff to play. It's not that easy to introduce the game for the new generation. So we have several ideas and we're working together on it.
Yeah.
Alex, what he's asking is, how are you going to celebrate?
Well,
that's one way to celebrate too.
Yeah, my way to celebrate is to come up with the new, very popular version. That's that's the best way of celebration. And we are working on it.
Yeah, and you know what? I think by releasing this film, it's going to get a lot of new people, I think, that have never played Tetris. They're going to be curious. They're going to find out and start playing it. And I think it's a great introduction for them.
Yeah.
Personally, you know, how like a lot of people got introduced because of the Game Boy. This could be that moment for Tetris again, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. You agree? What you think, Hank?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so there's a whole generation of young people that have never played Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
The platforms have changed so much. It's shifted from being something that you play on a device with buttons to being a game that you play on a device which has, I don't know, it doesn't have buttons anymore. And that's a little complicated or a little different from the way it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we will have a revival, absolutely, of Tetris coming forward. I have ideas. I think that Tetris really hasn't blossomed as an esport yet.
It's up there, though. I think it's up there, personally.
It is, but it isn't. You know, like,
sure.
if you look at sports like baseball and basketball, they were all like games 100 years ago that people played as, you know, hobbies. And today, there are professional players that earn millions of dollars playing those games. Esports is going to be the same. And the issue with esports is most games don't last that long. They come in and then they go out, and they come in and they go out. And Tetris is the first game that has actually withstood the test of time. Mm-hmm. And so it's a game that you could get better at and better at and better at, and we can like tweak it to make sure it stays more interesting and becomes more of a spectator sport. We can do all of those things, and that's part of Tetris that hasn't been really developed yet.
Mm-hmm. And Alexi, I was going to ask you, like, go ahead.
Sorry, but I just want to add, and
sure,
we have very encouraging experience because we already have several competitions, and the people, and this is a very compelling event. It's not very broad yet, but it's becoming broader and broader. And what is important that people start to know how to comment it, how to excite the public and whatever. So we're really on the way. We just need to push it.
Yeah, I think it's going to come, I think, especially once this movie comes out. I think it's going to be a game changer for the company overall, you know, so. I was going to ask you, Alexi, you know, I know there was a lot of moments in the movie that also talks about not only you, but also your family. How was that, seeing that again, you know, going through the back and forth with Hank and everything was going on behind the scenes of getting, you know, Tetris approved and everything. And also your family being part of that whole experience, too. How was it for you watching that?
Well, they loved the movie. Of course, it was rather reconstruction of some events. mm-hmm. then that's something they could remember. But basically, it's they are very positive about it.
That's good. That's good. Now, my last question for both is going to be 40 years, right? But 100 years from now, what is it that you guys want people to remember Tetris when they look back and research? And, you know, is there anything that you feel like it's important for people to know? Let's start with Alexei, the creator.
Well, I see no reason why it won't be still popular in 100 years. So the software, the hardware changed, the software changed, but our brains are, I would say basically they are same as we have 40 years ago. And basically, I don't see why this game wouldn't be popular in 100 years. And I, in my dream, first of all, I wanted to be very often play on the big electronic posters, like in the Times Square. That's what I'm saying.
I think you should definitely make that happen.
Let's make that happen. Are you kidding me?
That will be an iconic moment, I think, if you guys could pull that off. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, you know, the difference between Tetris and all the other games is that 100 years from now, the other games will look like they're ancient games, because because the characters and the graphics and the sound and everything associated with it will be, you know, out of fashion by 100 years. But geometry, basic geometry, mm-hmm. is never going to go out of fashion.
It is eternal. Yes, that's true.
It's eternal. So mm-hmm. the basic shapes and the basic gameplay and all that. And then on top of that, it's the fact that the game is not destructive. You're not killing anything. You're basically, and I look at it as a construction game, because what you're doing is you're constructing lines. And then once you've constructed that line, it goes somewhere, becomes part of something. But you're constructing lines of blocks. And so it's a constructive game rather than a destructive game. And there's so many destructive games out there, and they're all going to go out of fashion. But the constructive game will still be there.
Yeah, agree. I just want to say it's been an honor to have you guys. Again, I'm a huge fan of the game, and I can't wait for the official film to release very, very soon. And yeah, you can watch it on Apple TV, right?
Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus. Got to make that correction there. And yeah, congratulations, and good luck with everything, guys. It was an honor having you.
Thanks for having us.
Take care.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thanks to Alexei and also Hank for helping me be part of this interview. I know their schedule is crazy, especially with the movie coming out very, very soon. But guys, I have a couple surprises coming up in the future. But everyone, thank you for listening. Please send me and the crew feedback about this episode, and make sure to share this content to everyone. And until next time, we'll be back here, a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.